I have been listening and watching and reading with great interest the different truths being said concerning the events that transpired in Ganasadaga on January 12, 2004. 2 years have since gone by. We have a new Mohawk Council. There's a new provincial public security minister, and as yet possibly an undetermined new Canadian government minister of public safety and emergency preparedness. We are working for a new beginning in Ganasadaga, a new time of hope and prosperity, a time of peace. However, the issue of those dramatic events of January 12, 2004 keep resurfacing and causing turmoil. My community has suffered greatly from the incident. 13 Mohawks are to face sentencing tomorrow for standing up against what they and former Public Security Minister Jacques Chagnon deemed as an illegal act. The RCMP have jumped into the fray, as has my council, community members, and former Grand Chief James Gabriel. Each party is giving different stories and accusing the other of wrongdoing concerning the January 12th incident. Who are we to believe?
I was one of the 24 accused, and I was also a former police commissioner. When I took the position of a former police commissioner, I was taking that position voluntarily. I was not receiving a pay. I was doing what I thought to be an upstanding job. I've never had a criminal record in my entire life. And because of the issue of January 2004, I feel that my community has been wrongfully accused. I feel that they should be able to get answers. And I feel that the governments are responsible in granting us that public inquiry into that affair. And it doesn't matter who's pointing the finger at who. The fact of the matter is somebody's lying in this, and somebody has to come out, and the truth has to come out, and people have to have accountability. And we deserve the same thing that anybody else would get.
As one of the defendants, how do you feel about the trial?
I feel that the judge was supposed to, should have been doing her job on that aspect as a judge and doing what she was supposed to do justice-wise. I feel that there were some remarks made throughout the course of the trial in which were, you know, felt as or seen as racist or maybe harsh. And I think what it is at the end of the day is that the judge herself has not taken the time or refuses to take the time to educate herself on First Nations people, because it's not like governing any other person. First Nations have their own way of dealing with their governance, and they have their own way of dealing with their laws and their beliefs. And that's a big, the beliefs of the Ganasadaga Mohawks and how, or any other Mohawk, it plays a big factor in those things. So you must consider them, their the way of life and how they live, in order to better understand our situation.
It wasn't their peers that were judging them. The whole trial was fixed. I mean, what other word can you use but fixed? I mean, from evidence being withheld, things submitted after, and the defense not getting information, videotapes being, not everything being submitted.
And the judge didn't do anything about
it? No,
this.
She was part of it. Anyways, that is the feeling with a lot of people back on the territory. DKMP at the time had a lot of videotapes. They did not submit them all, which could have had a different impact. On the arrival of the KMP into Ganasadaga on the 4th of January, there was videotapes that they were carrying, that they were actually videotaping when they arrived and drove into the police station. And they were videotaping, and that videotape will depict how they provoked and asked Robert Gabriel and the people to come there. And that was withheld. They wasn't submitted. They hid those things. So you see the how they provoked. The police were provoking them to come before the gates were closed, before they locked themselves in. Those tapes were held back. The KMP had those tapes all along.
And then you see the aftermath.
When people were protesting out there. But it was the KMP themselves that were, come on over, Robert Gabriel, come on, all of you, come on over here. Gates wide open as they were driving in, provoking the people to come there. You know, the prosecutor, whether they submitted those full disclosure to the prosecutor or not, we don't know. But the prosecutor himself did not disclose all the information and submitted things along the way without giving it first to the defense.
Or even the way I remember he brought up the burning of the house.
Which they're not up. They weren't up there for those charges. They were not accused for those charges.
And the judge didn't do anything about that.
She actually referred to the accused as rioters. They were on charge for rioting, but they hadn't been convicted. But she referred to them in open court that way a few times. In her mind, she had already decided the guiltiness of those people.
Unless you put somebody under oath and you put them on a stand and you ask them these questions, who ordered the invasion? Based on what? Mm-hmm. What evidence did James Gabriel have to get 900,000 to do the initial investment into this invasion? And it was more than 900,000. Mm-hmm. When you add up $30 million within 1 year in policing, that would include the SQ, the KMP, and the RCMP, $30 million. Now, you break that down to how many people actually live in Gunasataka? Yeah, roughly 1,000 people.
And what that money could have done in the community instead of being used against
it. And not just that, you're talking millions and millions of dollars that were spent in public relations firms, Val Hilton, everything. I mean, $30 million, think about it. That's a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, Canadians cried out because of the sponsorship scandal. I mean, and it's $250 million. But representing how many people? Mm-hmm. The population. Break that down. See what you get. 30 million for 1 year into just a population of little under 1,000 people. And 30 million, I should say, 30 million is still just the tip of the iceberg as to what they really spent. And we were unable to obtain any financial disclosure. I myself called, finally, after a few years, managed to get through to Indian Affairs. I have repeatedly written letters to Finance Department, Pricewaterhouse, etc., all over, to get financial disclosure on our money. It's our money. And according to all the contribution agreements signed between the bank council at the time, we're entitled to it. They've never given it to us.
Tomorrow you'll have people going to prison over this event. And unless we deal with this and get the answers out, we will never know. And we need this for us to go forward in our lives, our children's and ourselves. Happening with the media stories going on back and forth. One is saying this, Chagnon is saying another thing, that it's illegal. And all we want is to get to the bottom of it and have the answers brought out to surface so we can go on, because of all these uncertainties going on as to where's the truth lying. We'll never know unless we have an inquiry. And this is bothering a lot of people in our community.
It appears that there's cover-ups on the government part, and we want it to come out. I mean, the application to the Solicitor General for this $900,000, and it wasn't about the drugs in the community, it was the drugs at the youth center, apparently. The youth center is under James Gabriel's control. That's his staff running that center. It was all falsified. We know it. The public, no one else knows about it. But we know it because it came out in the court proceedings.
against all the accused, it came out. The community wants the truth, and it's been covered up in the last 2 years. Nobody's finding out the entire truth. And now with Chagnon bringing up his statement, I mean, that's what everybody was saying all along in the community, that it was illegal what they did. What James Gabriel did and his counsel at the time of the police invasion was illegal. And we want to know all the details. I mean, we could have had a lot of dead Indians in Ganasadage. I mean, CBC just aired a story on one dead Indian situation up in Ontario with, what's his name,
Dudley George.
I mean, that could have been Ganasadage, and it would have been more than one dead Indian. So we really, really feel we support what Chagnon said, and we want to know more. And that's why I think we've been pushing our Grand Chief to come forward and demand a public inquiry.
I have seen the weapons that were carried in by the forces that entered Ganasadage on that cold day in January. I'm not a weapons expert by any means, but what I saw was extremely scary. I do not know if what I saw was the definitive amount of weapons, but it looked like more than enough to cause some serious damage in my community. I'm proud to call Ganasadage my home. We are a proud Mohawk community that has seen its share of conflict and controversy. We deserve peace, and we also deserve the truth about the events surrounding January 12, 2004. Since the statements made by Mr. Chagnon last January 12th, and the subsequent media coverage, I have received many phone calls and visits from community members who are demanding that the truth be sought as to the events of January 12th. As the Grand Chief, it is my obligation on behalf of the Mohawks of Ganasadage to bring forth this request today and to officially demand of the Canadian and Quebec governments a public inquiry and a proper police investigation of the January 12, 2004 uncommon events by police forces that took place in Ganasadage. In addition, this morning I have visited the offices of the RCMP to ask that an investigation be started concerning Ganasadage and the weapons aspect of the January 12th incident. I am still waiting for a reply on that from the RCMP at this point in time. People back home called it an invasion. Others have called it a police operation. I call it a... And I want the truth to be found and to hold those responsible accountable. My goal with a public inquiry and investigation is to resolve this issue so that we can move forward and to ensure that a situation like this does not happen again in another First Nation community. For me, as a Grand Chief, a public inquiry would certainly be followed by recommendations to prevent such situations from happening again. We must learn from our mistakes. What could be done to prevent such a mistake in the future? To do that, we must know exactly what happened, who took what decision, and who was responsible. And that's why I'm asking for a public inquiry and a police investigation. I think it should have happened a long time ago. It was first demanded, I believe, in February 2004. By former Police Commissioner Susan Oak had demanded a public inquiry soon after the events of January 2004. So I think it's long overdue. And for me, there is no time to waste in getting this done. We have the lives of 13 Mohawks hanging in a balance, I think, in here. And hopefully it would have an effect on that trial. So let's get it done. I'm not going to be able to do that.
The inquiry could go so far back, like the Ipawash inquiry, right?
Mm-hmm.
It got so limited that it broke it down to a policing matter. Mm-hmm. Dudley George got shot because of policing policy. But it goes so much
more
deeper than that.
Yeah. You have to look at everything that... And you have to look beyond just what has been happening in the last few years in Gunnison. Why are people always protesting? Why do they vote black? Why do they come forward? Why do they always, you know... I mean, the federal government paid $500,000, and this is, I finally got to speak to somebody from Indian Affairs, and I said, you know, I hold you responsible. Well, you people, he said, elected the chiefs. I said, no, we didn't. You did. You bought the votes. You gave James Gabriel $500,000. Just prior to the last election, $500,000 you gave to James Gabriel to do this election, and I got the letter to prove it.
Was it $500,000 for the organizing of the structure of the election, or was it $500,000 for his campaign?
Well, listen, he was put into the hands of James Gabriel. Okay? He was able to use that. He maintained all his expenses. He didn't have to pull anything out of his pocket for his telephone. The public relations firm of strategy
communication,
they were still on their payroll. They maintained their payroll. They handpicked the consulting firm that was going to do the election, and they were all on Jimmy's side. I mean, they orchestrated this whole thing to swing on their way. I mean, $500,000 is a lot of money for a little small community.
For one little candidate, and nobody else gets any.
And nobody else got anything. It was corrupt. It's corrupt.
Not even the telephone number and the proper list of the the voters.
Yeah. I mean, it was corrupt, and that's why after the election took place, I mean, I was one of the scrutineers in there. I did not see one single ballot, okay, that was cast on Jimmy's team. They didn't show it to us. It wasn't until we protested that we wanted to see those ballots that Steve came in. It was, and then we put an appeal, and there was actually no appeals process to the election itself. And
they
when we questioned,
the beginning, didn't they, that there's going to be no what's it called?
An appeals process.
No recount.
No recount, and even an appeal. Okay, so we tried to contact Johnson, who was the consultant that did it. He went and hid under a rock and wouldn't take nobody's calls. So when we finally notified him that we want an appeal this process. Well, he said, there's none. There's going to be none. If you want, take it to federal court, which there has been a claim made in federal court. I don't know what's going to happen. We're like, 6 months now past?
Well, that ought to be part of the inquiry, too.
Yeah. Yes, everything. What's corrupt? And then we had 1 year, and I threw this in the universe's face, too. Who were you? Who were you to appoint and to give James Gabriel another year mandate? Didn't belong to you. It belonged to the people. And received many more millions.
There are many aspects to what happened in January 2004. Some behind the scenes, which nobody knows about, that certainly will affect the lives of people in Gunnison, certainly change opinions of people. And I think that an inquiry should be given a wide scope, but also be able ultimately to hold those responsible accountable. If they have contravened the police act or contravened the law, well, it should be brought into the open. And if that's people within government or outside of government, will shed some light on that, because I'm tired of my community being branded a haven of criminality. I'm tired of that. It's not the case. Gunnison is a good place with many good people in it, like other Mohawk communities. So, you know, the painting of the brush of all Mohawk communities being the same, and Mohawk people being a certain way, well, those days have to end. Especially in Gunnison. Like I said, we're trying to build a new future in my community. And it's hard when we're always branded to be a criminal haven, when in fact, I don't think we're any worse or any better than other communities when it comes to criminality?
Nobody knows the truth. What I would like to know is what they were, Canada and the provincial, how they were involved in all this. Because it couldn't have happened, I don't think, without them.